what's the name of it? What's the name of it? Like to let everyone know that you're listening to this is being recorded.
Got a funny story for you, all right?
All right.
So this is the story about how I learned, what it is you do, you know? I would be on my Facebook, once a month or something. I barely ever go on it. But every time I went on there, I would see posts by this guy, Dave Smith, and they were always about, whiskey or bourbon or something, right? Of course. And so, but at the time, your picture was just, a stick figure or something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, okay, this is some dude who reads the magazine. He really is into booze or something, and he likes, whiskey. And I was like, oh, okay. But then you changed your picture, and I was like, oh, that's Dave.
Nice. I've gotten a lot of comments on that picture since I changed it.
Well, it's a good picture. You look like a slickster.
It's better than that. Everyone says it's like, hey, did you host a major game show?
yeah, for real.
So it's funny though. I love that little stick figure picture. That was a friend of mine out here is a t-shirt maker. And he does a lot of work for the company that I work for.
Uh-huh.
But we were all watching Game of Thrones, and he saw this staff shirt for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Where it was stick figure holding a martini glass and a sword. I mean, God, I have to make these.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of funny though, man. That's really funny.
Okay, so I wanna start from the beginning on you though, right?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible interviewer, but I'm gonna try my best. And really, I just want to talk to you about what you do.
Okay.
But
I promise to be very forgiving.
Okay, cool. Please. All right. First of all, you studied creative writing in college. I learned from Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Like what kind of writing?
My degree is in creative writing with honors English with a focus in fiction and screenwriting.
Oh my God.
I can tell you that I can write many, many wonderful short stories about being unemployed and unhappy.
Yeah.
I graduated and was trying to apply for grad programs.
Yeah.
And did a year, took a year off to apply for grad school and work a little bit and work on my, kind of get that whole ball rolling.
Yeah. We talking MFA programs, you mean?
Yeah, for MFA programs. Okay. I mean, I was applying to Austin, UC Irvine. I mean, I was applying to, maybe not the top tier with my Iowa Writers Workshop, solid places that I thought I had a chance at. And I definitely had some experience in college that made me feel like I was a bit of a big fish in a small pond.
Right. Okay.
And right after college, I graduated, and my brother's a winemaker out here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered me an opportunity to come out here and said, we can sell our reps for the fall.
Wow.
You're going to work, 60 to 80 hour work weeks.
Damn.
You can drive a forklift, you can make a little bit of your own wine, but it's hard labor and you feel pretty good at the end of the day. A beer's never tasted so good. It was a good opportunity to come out and spend time with my brother and his family. My nieces weren't too old. Came out and learned a little bit of the industry.
So is it like a lot of heavy lifting then, and then you dabbled in winemaking?
Yeah, I mean, at a winery they have this time, and my brewer friends usually describe winemakers as guys who work hard 2 months out of the year, and then they sit around and watch barrels the other 10.
Okay.
But I basically as a cellar rat, as an intern, learned a little bit of cellar sciences. Got to learn how to drive a forklift. You got to learn how to repair barrels.
Right.
Learned how to work with pumps and hoses and tanks, and you sorted fruit. You're literally picking leaves off of grapes, making sure those don't get pressed.
Okay.
And that stuff, yeah.
Wow.
But it's just, you need a lot of hands and a lot of labor.
Mm.
And so I did that. I was at it for about 5 or 6 months. But that wasn't what I was, supposed to do. That's not what I was, not who I was. I'd worked really hard, and thought I was going to be a writer. Mm. And went back to Florida. Of course, there was a girl involved.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, same here.
That's always part of it.
Yeah, naturally.
went back there, and that thing slowly, you know, wasn't. That situation was challenging, we'll say.
Yeah.
But also had that experience of, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, like I'm still in this town where, you know, kind of this great life and all my friends were, and there I saw them all leaving town. Everyone's kind of getting out of Dodge.
Did you go back to Orlando then?
Yeah. Yeah, I was out in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I ended up working at one point. I think I had like 3 different jobs at the same time. You know, I was working for a temp agency on my off days, and I was working at the Enzian Theater as a house manager and projectionist, and I was working at a Dollar Theater as a projectionist, and I made more money at the Dollar Theater as a projectionist than I did at the Enzian Theater as a house manager.
Oh, damn.
and so it was definitely a struggle.
Right.
And slowly started to, you know, get my rejections from MFA programs coming back to me.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was kind of like my world kind of melted down a little bit there. Because a lot of these ideas, you know, the way I think that people define themselves, you know, for who you are.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm doing this thing, but I'm applying to MFA programs. And, you know, it's like all that stuff kind of got ripped away from me.
Right. I see. Yeah.
So ended up ultimately in Florida, working for Valencia Community College for a while.
Okay.
So teaching and writing. And
how was teaching for you? How did you like teaching?
In some ways I loved it. In some ways it's one of the most challenging, hardest things I've ever had to do.
Yeah.
After I was at Valencia for a bit, and then I actually ended up over at, in Lake County, and was a high school English teacher out there.
Oh, that must've been cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, I say that so, like, not ever having taught high school English.
You know, there were parts of it that I absolutely loved. The weirdest thing I can say about it is that it was genuinely a lot like being in high school all over again.
Like as a student, huh?
It's a little like being a student and, like, you know, like the English department is sort of a clique versus, like, you know, the science department and the, you know, the teachers partied. It was interesting to that experience from that other side.
That's funny.
And I mean, I was pretty young. I was like 24, 25. Right. I guess 24. And, you know, had some good friends, really felt professionally, invigorated and excited at what I was doing. And at the same time, it was incredibly challenging. Like it was a really, really tough job.
Mm-hmm.
And decided, I only did that for a semester, and, I felt like I, had an opportunity certainly to go back, you know, be there the next year. I had a very good offer for my class schedule for the following year, you know, so it was kind of like, I couldn't have asked for a better class schedule. They definitely wanted to keep me. It was really positive.
Yeah.
But, I also felt like I had money coming in, over the summer from being a high school English teacher. You know, I had my payments deferred, so I'm getting money, I'm getting paid over the summer and I'm not working.
Right.
And, I had, you know, I basically had been kind of like couch surfing for a while at that point.
Wow.
Because I couldn't quite bring myself to like sign a lease on any place. Like I just didn't feel like I could settle down somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And so, so I ended up, moving out to Dallas and living on, actually,
Dallas.
I lived on Danny Del Purgatorio's couch for a while in Dallas.
Oh, really? What's he doing there in Dallas?
So, he's an animator. He's actually in Chicago now.
Oh, okay.
But he was working for an animation company out in Dallas, and, I was living on his couch and I was, writing screenplays.
Awesome.
And, trying to figure out how I was, you know, what I was going to, you know, what my next move was.
Yeah.
And, was having trouble wrapping my head around that.
Right.
And being in Dallas, I just felt like I was going to have to take a job as like a server or a bartender to make money, and was kind of a, couldn't quite, you know, or do I go back to Florida and continue teaching? But there's sort of a sense of, I need to move out of this place. I needed to leave this place.
Yeah.
And, the longer you teach in a state, the more certain, you know, credentials I got, the more you're sort of in the system.
Yeah. The deeper you get, and it's harder to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And I just couldn't bring myself to do that. So, I was talking to my brother one day when I was in Dallas, and, had basically everything I owned was in my car.
Right.
And, I was talking to it was kind of unpacking to Danny's place, but I was, talking to my brother, and he had an intern, bail on him at the last second for harvest.
Okay.
And I was definitely feeling like, you know, like, hey, do you guys need help? I'm kind of thinking about coming back out to California. And he said, you know, I could have, you know, if you can get here, I could have used you yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And so, so that was a Monday, and on Tuesday I mailed a few of the possessions that I couldn't, some of my books and things, some of the things I couldn't get in my car.
Uh-huh.
On Tuesday I mailed those things to my folks' house out in California, and on Wednesday at noon I left Dallas and drove straight through, showed up Thursday evening in San Francisco, and was working on Friday.
Started the harvest, and, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So it was pretty heavy stuff, and worked that harvest, you know, with my my brother and at a winery, and he's a winemaker in his own right. He's got his own label, so often worked 12 or 14 hours for the winery that he was the assistant winemaker for, and then he'd work the next 6 hours on his label.
Wow.
And then go home and sleep a little bit, and then go back, get back up, and go do it again. And towards the end of all that, I was kind of planning to do was actually use the wine world to travel. Just looking at trying to get an internship at Cloudy Bay,
okay,
out in New Zealand. And you can sort of hop the hemispheres, you know, the fall, the harvest season, the opposite down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was going to try to go down to New Zealand, and this guy comes into the winery one day,
mm-hmm,
and his name's Lance Winters. And before this, we were all kind of, there's a distillery kind of by the winery that I worked at. You know, we all kind of shared the same space.
Uh-huh.
So there's about 5 wineries and a distillery, and Lance was one of the partners at the distillery. And someone else had told me, you know, Dave, you should talk to Lance one day. Like, and you got a sort of a dark sense of humor. I think you would you'd get along with him. And
that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. he came in one day, and they were expanding a bit. They were really going through some changes at this distillery called St. George Spirits.
Right.
And he came in and was we started talking a little bit, and he said, you know, why don't you come on in to see, and I went into, you know, had my resume typed up, and my brother Matt saying, if Lance offers you a job, don't ask about money, don't do anything, just say yes.
Right, yeah.
Try it out. This, you know, could be a, you know, these kids are growing, and they this could be a good thing. And ended up going into this interview, and Lance and I are kind of, you know, going back and forth, but, you know, I've definitely like shaved and like took a shower and shaved and like had my tie on and
right.
My resume.
Yeah.
Glances at the resume and, you know, kind of tossed that away.
Uh-huh.
And we talk a bit. And one of the things that he was concerned about is that because I, you know, have this attachment to this winery, my brother, when harvest comes around, he was worried that, you know, there was a chance that he could hire me, but that my sort of loyalties would be divided when it's harvest season and when there's fruit on, and maybe my brother and the winery would need some help.
Oh yeah.
You know, where's my head at? And so in the interview, and Lance will tell you that this is the way that I got hired. He said, you know, so what I need to know, Dave, is would you kill your brother?
That's what I was just going to say.
And I had this moment of very, very this moment of clarity, where I debated very briefly on whether or not I needed to drop the F-bomb. That was so the good thing to do in an interview.
Right.
And without missing a beat, I had this, that fucker's had it coming for a long time.
That's great.
And so Lance was kind of like, all right, I think you'll work out, kid.
Yeah.
So, it was about 7 years ago, I guess.
Wow. So that's a crazy story, man.
Yeah. So I hope I didn't go into too much detail and drag it all out there, but just kind of giving you the sort of, land, you know, it's kind of in some ways comical because you definitely don't land where you think you're going to land.
Yeah, I mean,
but, at least for me, like, I feel very fortunate to have landed in the right spot for me.
And to do, state. I think to do something like that, like, I mean, honestly, like that, like your position now seems like the dream for a lot of people, I'm sure. But I mean, it takes a story like that where it's like just like aimlessness, and then it all just clicks. It seems like.
Yeah, and at a certain point, I really do feel strongly that there's also a sense. I mean, after I started here, I was finance in New York. I had my friend Danny was working another different Danny, but he was working on a short film and had some financing stuff, and I was really trying to be involved in that. And for a while here, I was kind of torn. Like, it was kind of like, I had this sort of creative life in mind for myself and what I was supposed to do, and it sort of took me a little time here to recognize. The creative life that I had chosen for myself is maybe not the one that I should pursue. And
right.
That maybe I was, I had an opportunity in front of me for a very different creative life. But at the same time, there's a lot of folks, I really genuinely value that. There's a lot of folks that don't have a creative life as an opportunity. That's not what they're, there's folks who fight against that. And I kind of finally decided that I had this, there's maybe this creative life, and I had to sort of learn how to accept that, which definitely took a little bit of time. But at the same time, once I was sort of figured that out in my head, It wasn't about the shallow end of the pool anymore. It was all in. And then when I first took this job here, I figured maybe I'd do this thing for a year, and then I'll probably, go back to trying to, work at some wineries and jump the hemispheres and travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I started learning more and more, and went back and did a little bit of chemistry to help try to understand better what I was learning.
So you went back to school a little bit?
I just did some classes at the community college.
Right, yeah.
Stuff. But awesome. Mr. Bailey's chemistry did not stick with me enough. I remember being in chemistry class and in Bailey's class and swearing up and down that I will never need these skills for as long as I live. And even stuff like metric conversions and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And now, every day of my goddamn life, I use that stuff.
That's hilarious. So, okay. That seems like it's part one, but then once you got into the business,
mm-hmm.
You go from getting hired, you obviously don't start as, second in command, right? Or did you?
Yeah, I think my first contract was assistant distillery worker.
Okay.
I guess it's like kind of a hard path to describe at some level,
mm-hmm.
but I think the best thing that I can say is that we're a really small company. When you have when you put all of our full-time employees together, so Lance, our master distiller and owner,
uh-huh.
You go to our office staff, our national sales staff, our production staff. We got a tasting room here. We've got some full-time tasting room staff.
Right.
When you put all of us together, we're about 15 people.
Damn.
We're a tiny company, and we really try to do a lot. We all wear a lot of hats here.
Right.
And I feel very fortunate because I've definitely had opportunities here to grow.
Yeah.
And honestly, without those opportunities, I would get bored. I would, put my head against the wall and sort of get distracted by a shiny object or some other thing.
Right.
So I've had opportunities here that I'm very, very fortunate for, and I hope I've tried to take advantage of those opportunities and to do right by them and to help this company grow and do more.
Mm-hmm.
That's my sincerest desire.
That's awesome. That kind of allegiance, you know what I mean? Like to feel that. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's it all kind of comes from a sort of a small family atmosphere here.
Yeah.
So we're all pretty tight. My boss Lance, he'll tell you that he's the best Halo player here, but I'm not sure if that's true.
And it looks like I was looking at the website. It sounds and it looks like Oz, just this magical place.
to be perfectly honest, there are days when there's issues and that. Yeah, some days there's a job, but there's stuff that that's challenging. But ultimately, this stuff always kind of comes back to I put a lot of stock in having more good days than bad days.
Yeah,
and you can definitely say that there's more good days than bad days here.
Right.
We're definitely. I always kind of go back to that idea of sort of a creative life, but this is a place that is completely run and organized by that. Sense of creativity.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see that in another, what you were saying about having another creative outlet, seeing you get so used to just your little art form, but then you see all this other artisanal kind of things. And I mean, in booze, that's especially appealing,
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, hey, Jared, can I give you a call back in just a minute?
No problem. Is there's not a still gonna explode out on the floor, is there?
It's been at least 72 hours since we've had an accident like that, so not to worry.